Welcome back to the Loose Ballers, of course, a branch of the Hard Ball Gets a podcast. On today's episode, we speak to Dylan Buckley, who unfortunately stuck in lockdown, flat as a shit Carter's hat. We're going to talk footy finals, who's playing who, the Carlton situation, of course, big news that broke during this podcast, was the AFL Grand Finals heading to Optus Stadium, and the man who broke it, Ryan Daniels, is going to join us. Of course, we're all here thanks to Mazda. It's the brand new Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. Dylan Buckley. Mate, how, you've lost the plot. You've absolutely lost the plot. How's life? It's got away from you. It's got away from you, hasn't it? Look at him. He's vaping.
I'm stressed. I'm bloody stressed, mate. I've taken up vaping in this last week.
Mate.
I don't know what's going on with my life anymore. It's fair to say lockdown's starting to get to me, my friend. It's well and truly infiltrated the mind.
Mate, if vaping is any sort of relief or comfort for you during these times for East Coasters, I want you to vape as much as you possibly can, okay? If you need to just hit pause and you just stick it down your throat, permanently have one lodged in there, I'll roll with that punch today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Mate, in all honesty, how are you going? And, like, what day-to-day, can you still get out and do some recordings and stuff, or are you a bit wedged?
No, a bit wedged at the moment. We're not doing a lot. We go out for a walk in the morning, myself and my partner. But it's pretty dire down here, mate. Like, we just, let's not get into it. People, you know, they
get away from it
to have some fun. They get away from it. But again, it is a bit silly. We can all agree we've got to do it just to get out. But I had my first vaccination yesterday, actually, and it feels like Xavier Ellis, I have just been hit by Stewie Jew in 2008 in September.
What, you flat?
Just in my arm. My arm is just dead. Like, I cannot move.
What did you get? Did you get the AstraZeneca or the Pfizer?
I got the Pfizer. Now, it's a funny topic. We could talk about it all day because it's very topical down here in Melbourne. But it's funny how it works. You know, I think the AstraZeneca's just got it doesn't have a very good a PR campaign around it. But they're all the same. The only difference, the reason why I got it was someone pulled out of an appointment. I was booked in for the AstraZeneca. Someone pulled out for the Pfizer, and I quickly jumped in to get it, mate, because I just want to get it done so we can move on and I can get outside and start drinking some beers, and hopefully McGowan lets me into Perth one day.
Yeah, no, that'll be 2040 by the time McGowan thinks it's fine to open up the borders. So that stage will be called a country called Western Australia. But, we do think of you. Now, we are going to speak to you can mute yourself during this little part, but we are going to speak to Ryan Daniels because as we speak on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, there's a press conference with Gil McLachlan about the AFL Grand Final coming to Western Australia. So we'll check with Ryan Daniels and he'll give us all the information on that. But and I know that's – and just another little kick in the guts that you Victorians sort of need. But we'll do that in a moment. So we will ring him, but he's just – trying to escape the kids. He's been in lockdown for 2 weeks in Sydney and then he came back and I was so hoping that he had another 2 weeks hotel lockdown when he came here. But he's off and racing. But have you caught much of the footy deal in lockdown or are you just doing nothing?
No, loving the footy. How good was last round? I honestly think it was funny, like with the COVID, it does take a little bit out of the sting of games when there's no crowds. And we say that every week, how much the crowds and supporters and everyone that gets to the footy, we realise now through COVID, if there's one thing, fans make the games.
Yeah.
But in saying that as well, there were some awesome games on the weekend. The one up at the Gabba I love. Brisbane Eagles just absolutely going for it. You know how hard it is, Zav, and this does separate the good teams from the ones that don't play well, but on-ground communication and when you need to really go for things, it's hard to spread that message around. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but it really is hard to send a message from the bench and infiltrate the whole team of what the game plan needs to be.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a change of pace in that game from Brisbane, knowing that they needed to score. And you know, being inside the four walls, there would be a cue word like, you know, red time, blue time, green time, whatever it is. But that really went through Brisbane and they just started taking it on. And it was just so good to watch.
It's funny to me when you mentioned communication, obviously with Clarko finishing up on the weekend. Even that was a bizarre game on the weekend, the draw that came from nowhere. Mm. But on the couch, we're doing like a thank you, Clarko, sort of segments or whatever. And the bit that I absolutely loved and found quite funny, talking about communication, was when the Clarko cluster was first introduced in 2008, and Jared Healy and I think Gary Lyon got up on the big screen on the couch and tried to dissect what was going on. And they're like, look here, they know what's going on. They go one way, this bloke goes the other way. It's unbelievable. Alistair Clarkson, this is outrageous what's going on the footy field. Yeah, flashing back 13, 14 years ago. But little did they know, like, you literally just had to communicate with the one person in front of you. Because if you just told the one person in front of you where you were, the bloke behind you told you where he was, and it just worked like he called it a cyclone. But the way, just watching how they were dissecting, you know, the communication, but really you just had to worry about one person, and it was perfect.
I know.
But also,
it sounds funny though, isn't it? Like, it sounds simple, but for some teams, they still manage to stuff it.
Hey, mate, quick one on the Western Bulldogs. I got a message today about they're not the happiest campers of all time. They've slipped to fifth. How are you reading the Bulldogs at the moment? Marcus Bonampelli, and also who's your pick for the Brownlow? Like, Bont's obviously now second favourite, but what's the story on the Bulldogs back home?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? And we spoke about this every week. I sound like a broken record, but finals footy, is about momentum. It's about being the best time at the end of the year with the fittest squad, and that can change in an instant. You know, you can get momentum after one instant, or you can lose it after a couple of instants. And it looks like the Bulldogs at this three-game last three-week period, yeah, they've skidded on the tracks, and they're not humming as well as they should. They've got a few injuries, but also find as well sometimes when you go through adversity like that, and the good teams that go through adversity like that, and the good coaches like Luke Beveridge is, can really harness that and go, all right, boys, we've gone through this shit patch. Let's bounce back in this first final and make a statement. And if they can do that against Essendon, they're right back in the hunt. Like, they are right back in the hunt.
Yeah,
if I was a betting man, like, I would be having a wager on doggies, because at the moment, everyone's already riding them off. It's actually quite funny to think how quickly you can ride teams off. And on contrary to that, you know, you look at Melbourne, who, if they didn't get up against Geelong,
yeah, that was crazy.
Saying the same things about them. Like, people would be saying the exact same thing. So it's just what you believe in the internal narrative that can get written, and how well the coach can spin the tail in your favour.
So with bullies, I'd say just quickly, I got a text message today saying players that will leave the Bulldogs at the end of the year being unhappy and a bit disgruntled with Bevo and the communication and that sort of stuff. Pat Lipinski, Jordan Sweet, Lewis Young, Mitch Wallace, Hayden Crozier and Riley West. And I was like, that's all well and good, but if they were actually playing any good at football, they'd be playing every week, and they'd be in the starting 18. But none of them, when they get the opportunity, are lining it up. So, no wonder you can be as disgruntled as you want, but you're not getting a kick.
Mate, I feel like this, you know, there's not much me commenting on that holds a lot of weight, but for someone that was never getting coached, never getting picked as well, as much as I'd like, it's you're going to have disgruntled players. And at the end of the day, it's not the coach's decision to be picking you. Like, there is some onus on yourself to be picking yourself in that team. And I think Teague said it really well, mate, and this whole Carlton situation that is going on in the background of the AFL at the moment is incredible. And I really have loved what Teague's come out and said in the last couple of weeks about his future and the way he's handled himself. He's being so honest and authentic about what he said about how much he'd love people to have, you know, stepped up and backed him up.
Yeah.
You look at his record against Clarko and Hardwick, and it actually stacks out to be there. But the one thing that I really love that he said was, he said, you know, that hurt him, was the fact that players are disgruntled with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, at the end of the day, I'm a coach. I'm not there to be anyone's friend.
Yeah.
You'd be worried that there wouldn't be players that disagree with me. Of course there's going to be players that disagree. As my role as a coach, I'm going to be challenging players.
Yeah.
I'm going to be putting them in comfortable positions. And that's what you want, you know. I went through this more than most, I suppose, and even I can understand that some of these lessons, they're not doing it as personal attacks. They're just trying to make you better.
No, the amount of times, I loved Clarko, but he just took aim at the big dogs more time than the small dogs. So, like, if anyone was to be disgruntled with being spoken to or pulled up for something, Hodge, Mitchell, Franklin, but they just copped it on the chin and were like, oh, okay, well, I just need to get better. And I agree. You can say poor you, and don't get me wrong, at times I would have done it, you would have done it. You know, oh, I don't think the coach is right. But there's no point in getting down, and you've got to get cracking straight away. But you mentioned Teague, which I agree, mate. I thought he seemed like he'd given nothing away in press conferences all year. Like, his presses were bugger all. And then the last couple where he took a shot at Tom Brown for misreporting things, said, yeah, I would have loved some more support. You're a Carlton man. You've got Carlton mates there. You a little bit. Oh, I would be. I'm a little bit embarrassed for Teague.
I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed at this situation. And I think if I look at it now, mate, and I'm saying this purely as a supporter, and this has nothing at all to do with me leaving.
Yeah.
Getting rid of me was a correct decision of what they did.
Yeah.
But I look back to that time, which was over 6 years ago now, I think, and I look back to that time and I'm sitting in my exit review meetings. My last three deals were 1 year deals.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in those meetings and I'm sitting next to an opposition a coach of mine that I think this bloke doesn't know if he's going to be there next year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. What the hell is going on? And to think 6 years later, those conversations are still going ahead is baffling.
Yeah.
And it says that it's got nothing to do with the players, nothing to do with the coaches, but it's got something to do with upstairs and how the club's being run.
As poorly handled the Alistair Clarkson Hawthorn situation, as poorly handled as that was, somehow now that looks like that was first class compared to how Carlton are dragging out this situation. Like Hawthorn, when they sacked Clarko, don't get me wrong, I don't think it should have happened, but they've now waded through the garbage. Sam Mitchell's now the coach. Alistair Clarkson's moved on, and life goes on. But at the moment, I read a tweet before, there's three options. And I was like, how are we now at this situation where there's three options for Carlton? Teague stays on. Teague stays on for 1 year, then Clarko comes in, or Ross Lyon. I was just like, this is a shit show. And the part that gets me a little bit is the people who, and I didn't think the Teague appointment was right to start with, because I've always got a bit of a theory that, same with Reece Shaw, same with Brett Ratten, that the person sitting in the assistant seat next to the coach that's been sacked, I just think a fresh start from someone, fresh eyes over players, fresh opinions is probably ideal. So whether that's right or whether that's wrong, but those 2 years ago, those people were on the Teague train, tooting away. The boards had stiffies. They were as, you know, how good's this? Where, yeah. And then you just don't hear a squeak out of them. You do not hear a squeak out of them.
No, you're completely right, mate. I think the more that we can bring light to that is I really hope that people are starting to understand that coaches can only do so much.
Yeah.
They don't have control over a whole football club. Yes, they are sending the main messages, but they need support around them. They need to be backed in and they need to be supported by the people that actually have willing around them. Like, look at Clarko and look at the club, the assistant coaches that have come from his ilk and the people that he's been able to bring in under him. You know, Teague takes over from Brennan Bolton and he's sitting with his, you know, his, you know, coaches that he was coaching with as assistants. So is he coaching with the people that he wanted to bring in and have under him and challenge him and support him through it? I don't think so. The players, I think we spoke about this earlier in the year too, but it's very all well and good at the start of the year to be saying, yeah, we're on the Teague train. And then when things don't go well, you kind of say, oh, no, I think we need to change it now. I actually honestly think that they should keep Teague as the coach. If they can't get Clarkson, they should keep Teague as the coach and actually give him a red hot crack and for once back him in and say, no, we're sticking with him.
What do you think in your heart of hearts, what do you think, who will be coaching at Carlton next year?
I really don't think Ross Lyon will be coaching there next year. Just from conversations I've had with people that know him, like I've heard that he doesn't really want to get back into football. Now, again, if that's a message that's being spread, I'm not sure. It seems like maybe that has changed in the last month because his messaging has changed a little bit in terms of, you know, these phone calls and being altered. But I don't know. You know Clarko better than me. Is he actually going to take a year off or do you think he'll get back into it? The only thing I see is Teague coaching or Clarkson coaching.
Yeah. No, he's definitely having 12 months off. So that just literally got released earlier today. So hopefully, I'm with you. I don't know if Teague can coach or not, but I want to see the bloke have a chance.
I was just going to say, how about this for an example? We say earlier in the year as well, just to back up Teague a little bit more, and I'm not firing shots at anyone here, but earlier in the season as well, they said that they're bringing on John Worsfold to be a senior assistant and help out Teague.
Yeah.
What have we heard about that since? Like, has any of this actually been happening?
No, the border's been the issue. Like, Woosh is a bit like, I can't go because if I get stuck, I can't do 14 days because I've got a job as well. I agree, mate. It's a bit of a shit show, but we're going to get Ryan Daniels on as we speak. Yeah, the man fresh out of quarantine, Ryan Daniels. Mate, we've sat here, Dill Buckley and I, and we're just talking a bit of riff-raff about Teague and the situation over East. Now, you're on top of everything that's happening over West. What can you update us with at the moment with the grand final and everything around that?
Well, it's definitely coming to WA with one tiny little asterisk. Gillon McLachlan is about to announce that WA has won the right to host it.
Yep.
If and when, and it seems to be more likely when than if, the Victorian government finally realises and comes to terms with the fact that they won't be hosting it. So essentially WA's won the bidding against South Australia, Queensland. They were the only two ever really in the running at any point. And once Victoria formalises that decision to not run it, which will probably come early next week, it'll be WA's. And a lot of that planning is already underway in terms of how it's going to look and the lead-up events to it and who's going to be involved. So it's a pretty exciting time for WA footy. It's sad about Victoria. We all love grand finals at the MCG, but this year it just can't be there. So why not be in WA?
So, mate, in terms of Victoria, they did make a late play, my sources tell me. They made a late play at being a bit modernised within the current climate and do a, you know, two jabs entry and vaccine passports and all that sort of stuff. They just ran out of time, or things just got slightly a little bit more hectic over there?
Well, it's a very big event to start testing things on, and that would have been the first sort of major event that would have required vaccinations and required passport of such type. It's a really risky thing to do when you're trying to get, say, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 to one place. You're much better off doing something like that with a smaller event, working up and seeing how it goes. You know, they tried everything they possibly could. And you're on the money that they came up with all kinds of different proposals that they could make it work somehow. But at the end of the day, the health has to come first, the safety has to come first, and there are no guarantees that would even work. And can you imagine the fallout of, you know, it's a grand final and they've sort of half bent the rules and tried to make up these new protocols, and then there's, you know, a massive outbreak, which has already happened from a game of footy this year. So you don't want to see that. And I think, you know, eventually Melbourne has just run out of time, as you say. Another week, another two, who knows? It might have been a different story, but with COVID, every day matters.
Fast forward, I believe Geelong and Melbourne on their way over this weekend, Saturday, Geelong, Sunday, Melbourne. What's the next 3 weeks going to look like?
So it all depends on the results, which it's, you know, most final series are like that. But the way I've sort of described it is it's basically going to be like Love Island, but Perth is Love Island. So teams are just going to keep coming in, and as they get eliminated, they get voted off the show.
Okay.
So WA is going to host everything that the other states can't. Now, if Port Adelaide or Brisbane or both were to lose this weekend, then my understanding is that they would get to host another final, a semi-final this week.
Yeah.
In week two. If they win, Brisbane will go straight to Perth and set up shop and ready to host a prelim. Geelong, as you mentioned, and Melbourne are already doing that. And Port Adelaide are a bit different because they don't need to rush out of South Australia because they are locals. So, you know, Brisbane, Melbourne and Geelong can't just hang around in South Australia and wait to see what happens. They have to get out of there because of the rules. So Perth is becoming the hub, the safe haven for the finals, and the other teams will just sort of come in and go depending on when they need to play. Geelong and Melbourne, I should mention, if they lose this weekend, those semis will be in Perth.
Okay.
So it's all dependent on these results, but basically all roads lead to WA because right now Victoria just can't do it.
Hey, Rhino, it's Dill, mate. Best in the business there. It was an absolute honour to hear that from the horse's mouth.
Thank you.
Now,
mate,
just a quick one. With the Perth Stadium, what capacity are we looking at there? Is it going to be packed to the brim? Because I've seen games there. We saw the Derby earlier in the year, and it was absolutely fantastic. So as a Victorian looking at, you know, watching this on television, I'm so happy that the AFL's decided to do this and have a big crowd at the footy.
Yeah, absolutely, Dill. And it's going to be full. It's going to be 60. They'll be packed to the rafters. There'll be people sitting on the roof. You can actually watch the game on the roof now. So that is not even a joke. You can actually sit up there and watch a game. So there'll be people up there. There'll be people everywhere. It'll be 60. And I think you hit the nail on the head. That Derby that just came and the Dreamtime game earlier in the year, those two games, particularly the Dreamtime, really had an impact on the bid. Yeah. That was what WA could point to and say, we nailed this. We could not have done a better job, not just with putting bums in seats, but the occasion. You know, we did it right in every single possible way, and it looked fantastic. So that was a real sort of, not a rehearsal by any stretch. It's a fantastic event in its own, but it did put WA on that stage. And sometimes people outside WA don't quite realise we're not a big country town. I think seeing that, it was like, oh, okay, they're capable of bigger stuff.
Mate, last one from us. When does it look like the bye might fall into place, or you reckon they're just going to plough through?
No, I expect the grand final to be the 25th, and I expect them to have a bye in prelim week. Now, how the events look, whether the parade's in there somewhere, or the Brownlow obviously will need to be staged. There's all kinds of things that could be put in that bye, but I expect it to be a bye between the prelims and the GF, and the GF to be the 25th.
Beautiful. Ryan Daniels, chief footy reporter for Channel 7. I mean, sorry, buddy. I got your byline wrong there, mate.
Vice chief.
There was a rumour floating around, Dill, that Rhino was actually offered the role as chief footy reporter for Channel 7, but not sure if it's true or not.
Mate, you don't have to tell me that, mate. That made front page of the Herald Sun and also Channel 7 News at 6 p.m. as well. So we're all aware of the newsbreaker over in the West. And as I said, I'm just honoured to hear it from the horse's mouth. It's been a privilege.
Rhino, go back to hiding in some bins, mate. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, guys.
See you, mate. Hey, Dill, just before we do go, we should touch on quickly the game. Just a quick assessment of what you see, what you think. Starting with Friday night, which is going to be interesting. Friday night footy at Adelaide Oval, limited crowd. Port Adelaide v Geelong, Tom Hawkins' 300th game.
Massive, isn't it? This is a huge game. It's going to be big. Mitch Duncan obviously ruled himself into this one this week.
Did he?
And he's the sort of bloke that, yeah, he's playing. So he's the sort of guy that he's a Rolls Royce, mate. He can come off 3 years of not playing and get out there and hit 30 and kick two. So I'm not setting the bar too high for him, but he's going to be seamless transition into that team, which is going to be awesome to see him going at it. But just a big one for Geelong with Tommy Stewart going down. I don't think we underestimate how much that hurts. Mm-hmm. But I know the boys are going to really want to get up for this Tom Hawkins 300th. I know I'm speaking about every single asset in this game, but it is a big one. It's really going to set the scene for the whole final series. So if I had to put my money on it,
yep,
if I had to really go hard, I'm going to go Geelong.
Yep.
But just.
Geelong, just Adelaide Oval. I'm going to go Port Adelaide. I still think Geelong can win the flag. I just think that they just need Tui back in. They need Mitch Duncan in, and I reckon it might need one more sort of week to oil it out again, and off they go. Because Paddy Dangerfield, something didn't seem right with him on the weekend. Zero disposals in the last quarter, zero tackles. So Port Adelaide for me. But Charlie Dixon, just quickly, I think he holds the weight of that team. He's spoken about in the same sort of conversation a little bit as a Hawkins, as a Rewalt, and those sort of guys. He's never kicked 50 goals in a season. So, big month. If he can pile in 20 goals this final series and be the actual key forward and spoken of in the same sort of phrases as those sort of key forwards that have done the damage over a long period of time, I think Port Adelaide can go a long way, and I think they'll win on Friday night. Congratulations to Tommy Hawkins, of course, 300 games. Moving along to UTAS Stadium, Sydney v your old mob, Dill. The big, big sound.
Yeah. I'm very bullish about the Giants this season, my friend. There's something different in the water in Western Sydney, and they are looking prime for this. It just shows, there's so many topics in this that we could speak about in depth, but the fact that your captain, Stephen Cornelio, is coming on as the sub at the moment.
Now,
you look back last year and we all really laughed at the Giants for dropping their captain, but I think now looking at it, they've still stuck with it. It's a credit to them just in one place that they haven't folded.
Yeah.
Now, Cornelio, I think, will play this week because he's easily in their best 22.
Yeah.
But I think just fitness-wise, they wanted to give him some more time to be getting right.
Yeah.
Because after last week, he came on as a medical sub, then he went the next day and played in the VFL.
Oh, he had a double hit out.
Got through and played really well. So he had the double hit out. So I'd say he has to come in back in this week, and I'm really looking forward to him having a big big play in this game. It's going to be a little bit weird at Tassie Stadium, but I think the Giants win no matter what, but especially with Sydney's injuries at the moment with Callum Mills and Kennedy. I'm not sure if those two are getting up.
Yeah.
I think they just get the job done. But in saying that, I want the Giants to win, but I still want Buddy to kick eight.
Yeah, okay. So that can happen. Hey, Steve Cornelio, a little bit of murmurings going on over here. So he played 22 minutes on the weekend, had six disposals, which is a good quarter in itself, kicked 2 points. How sewn do you think Giants are to Steve Cornelio? So he's on about $1 million or 900,000. He's a WA boy. Fremantle lost Adam Chera. Is Steve Cornelio, would you say, not gettable, but would you think that the eggs of Fremantle's basket, 27-year-old, so he's walking right into the prime of his career, an absolute megastar, if they could arrange some sort of contract where Giants pay a fraction of it, would you see that Steve could move, or you think he's just a lifeblood?
Oh, mate, he loves the Giants. He loves living in Sydney. I don't think there's ever been a factor for him, like a go-home factor, you would say, where he'd want to return back to his home state. And we saw that, you know, when he was in his discussions with Carlton, it was a move to Melbourne. It wasn't a move back to Perth. So I don't think the go-home factor isn't a thing. But, mate, he's so entrenched in that club. He's got a Steven Cornelio multicultural program that's set up at the Giants as well.
Yeah.
You know, he gets out in the Western Sydney community and does some incredible things, incredible person, loves the Giants. So I don't think so. I don't think it will happen, but a lot of people are talking about it at the moment, and it's just the obvious thing, isn't there? You look at Chera leaving, you go, we need someone else. It is, but I don't think personally.
You'd be surprised, Moving right along, Adelaide Oval again. Melbourne v. the Brisbane Lions on Saturday night. First v. fourth.
I think this is a grand final preview. I've changed my mind on who's going to be in the grand final.
So you've finally given up on West Coast?
Most informed teams. I'm still holding.
Right, you finally put that
still
sword down.
A little bit of hope for him. Just being ruled out of finals sort of just tipped it over the edge for me.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a grand final preview. Obviously, I'd love to see the Giants get there. I think there is that fairy tale that they actually possibly can. But I think if you're looking at the two most informed teams at the moment, it's Brisbane and Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the way these two teams both played last week, geez, it goes in. So this is going to be red hot. I'm really looking forward to this game. Who wins? Did you say it's at Tassie?
No, Adelaide Oval.
Adelaide Oval. So we've got the crowd there. Oh goodness gracious. I think Melbourne win.
Yep.
Melbourne are the biggest momentum team. And when they're humming, they're so hard to beat. Last week, I think we underestimated how much that win would have done for Melbourne Football Club.
Oh, it was crazy. It was an amazing finish. For mine, I'm going with Brisbane. I've watched their last few games pretty closely, just getting it up what they've done. So they beat, I was at the game, they beat Freo by 11 goals. Then they beat Collingwood by 85. Then they beat West Coast by about 40. Oh, I'm going Brisbane Lions. I love what's happened there the last 3 weeks. And my favourite player in the comps there at the moment, Zach Bailey. So anywhere Zach Bailey goes, I follow. He's a madman. He's like a Dane Zorko mini-me.
We spoke about Charlie Dixon before, and I love final series to see who that player is that takes a step game to the next level.
Yeah.
I think Joe Danaher will do that this final series. Yeah. Like, he's obviously an absolute superstar. He's already done some incredible things, but I really do feel like this time of his career, he's up in Brisbane now. He's super happy. This can be his moment to like take over as one of the game's absolute elite.
Yeah, and they've moved on in a footy sense for this year, Eric Hipwood. I think early days there was a little bit of uncertainty about how the Eric Hipwood stuff works. Charlie Cameron's lifted his game up. They've almost reverted back to how it was last year, just Danaher replaced Hipwood. And last but not least, the do or die, Western Bulldogs v Essendon down at UTAS Stadium. Bit of pressure on the Doggies, but a lot of pressure on 6,200 days or whatever it is since Essendon last won a final.
This is the most anxiety riddling game, isn't it? For both teams, it's so high stakes. You've got the Doggies who 3 weeks ago had the chance to finish as minor premiers, and now they've been knocked to fifth place.
Yeah.
So it's just not the way you'd want to go out of at a final series. It's not looking good for them at all. So they need to win this. And then on the other hand, you've got Essendon who, whatever the 6,000 days, haven't won a final.
Yeah.
Now, they're a young list, and I get it, that there's probably less on the line for them to win. But also, you look at the fact that the only team that Essendon's beat in the last 8 weeks or something like that in the top eight is the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting to see. And I also think the most informed player at the moment is Jake Stringer. So he's coming up against his old mob and he's playing the final against him. It's going to be good to watch.
Mate, I remember it was only 10 or 12 weeks ago, Jake Stringer was after 700,000. So I not only choked on my cereal. I was like, no way. Mate, he's worth every penny. He is so good at the moment. He just takes the piss. Genuinely just says, no one can tackle me.
I wish that I could just hit form when the contract negotiations were coming up. Yeah. Like, that's just all I ever wanted.
Oh, yeah.
But didn't work out like that.
The last one, you just mentioned contract. So your manager does that. Liam Pickering has put on the hard hat and gone hard for David Teague, and he just started swinging some, landing some blows. Did your manager ever speak to you?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, we're in constant chats at the end of each year. I just pretty much call him and say, hey, mate, how are we looking? He goes, well, I'll let you know on the last day of trade period if you've got a spot. I said, okay, no worries. So my normal day was just, I just wait till list lodgement.
Yep.
I think that was probably like November 30. And by then I normally knew if I had a job or not, which was pretty good.
Good on you, mate. All the best. Hey, do feel for you over there, mate. I owe you a box of beer too for the Giants making the finals too. So look at that. Lockdown's
all good.
Lockdown's working a treat. Yeah, you ripped a bit. So that looks sexy. I didn't mind it. I owe you a box of beer too for the Giants making the finals. So,
Thank you, sir.
So send me an address and what you want and I'll get something going your way.
Look forward to my friends. And big shout out to Josh E. Gallup again, providing the goods. He went viral again.
He does.
It's another TikTok.
It's nonstop.
It's taking over. Well, does he walk down like Main Street Fremantle and just get mugged or like, well, how does it work over there?
Oh, no, he's the king of the big streets. Don't know about Fremantle. He's like St. George's Terrace, mate. He's in there. That's where they grab him.
Although we did get the grand final. So I'm actually considering just going down St. George's Terrace tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Just shaking people's hands.
You should
saying,
do
you're
that.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Sorry, you're welcome, mate. You're welcome. Oh, yep. No worries.
You actually should do that video. That'd be fucking funny off the back of the other one.
They will have no clue who I am, though.
Good on That's you, fun. Mate. All the best. Still rest up. And again, I'll send you that box of beer. Thanks for joining us again for the Loose Ballers. Of course, we're here again thanks to Mazda, the brand new Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. If you are looking for a podcast, grab Adrian Barrich's Listen This Week. It's a really good chat. Of course, played at Perth, played for West Coast, does the Channel 7 news. So sit down and enjoy that as well. Cheers.